From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. You're with Hervoye Morich on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, hour two. I hope you're all doing very well. Coming to you live from Mexico, FEMA Region 12 in the southern part of the North American Union. Can't wait till we get our Ameros. Elon Musk, his latest tweet says he's got a poll out begging the question, should I reinstate former President Trump? 62% have said, yes, I voted twice because I have two Twitter accounts. And 37% say no. He says, Vox Populi, Vox Dei. So that's interesting. And Lukashenko in Belarus, funny guy. He's a funny guy. I can't help it. I like him as a politician. It's him up against McDonald's. He's instructing Belarusians to take the place of Western businesses that have left. Arguably, Russia is. What does he say? He basically calls for self-sufficiency, and he's like, "Can we not cut a hamburger bun in half and fill it with meat and stuff?" And he's got a point. It's like he's laughing at all those Belarusian crybabies who are crying about McDonald's leaving Belarus. It's like, who cares? Good riddance. Eat, make our own food. Seriously, like, you can't live without McDonald's. I haven't eaten it in 20 years. Argentina is in trouble. Argentina's central bank debt poses systemic risk to the financial sector, says Moody's. They pose a risk to the country's monetary stability, could further stoke inflation and aggravate any exchange rate shock if savers flee from the local peso currency. Where will the collapse begin? Argentina, Europe, Ukraine. I guess we'll find out soon enough. We have what else going on? Queen Maxima. They're all pushing this digital ID now. Queen Maxima of the Netherlands. I think her father-in-law was Prince Bernard, was a Nazi who founded Bilderberg. I'm pretty sure that was her father-in-law. Yeah, and so she's lobbying the G20 for digital ID. So they all are, want us to get our little cattle tags. She had a passionate plea, quote, in favor of these controversial digital versions of fiat money. So the Bilderbergers want us all cattle tagged. Europe, CNN's reporting, Europe still can't live without this Russian energy export. Isn't that interesting? Natural gas, LNG. There's like no way they can live without it. And basically, Europe would rather get whatever it can in terms of Russian pipeline gas and Russian LNG. It would take a lot before it would think about sanctioning gas or LNG from Russia. It doesn't really make a lot of sense for me. I mean, if you're in a war and you're fighting an enemy, I mean, you're either in the war and you cut everything off and you fight the enemy, or not this, half business where, okay, we're going to sanction Russia's Swift and gasoline, but we're going to keep the natural gas flowing. What is this? Are you in the war or not? Or is this a simulation? I have no idea what's going on. So, that's just interesting. We also have a new weight of the Earth revealed. I mean, these scientists can't tell between genders. I'm not sure if I can trust them with the weight of the Earth. They say the planet weighs roughly 6 ronograms, whatever that is, ronograms. I mean, all right, scientists who can't get the narrative straight on COVID, don't believe in gender, I'll trust you with the weight of the Earth. Right. And what else do we have that's interesting? Not too much else. You know, it's a Friday. Things are winding down. Russia's doomsday plane is to direct nuclear submarines during major conflict. The IL-80 Airborne Command Center, known as Russia's doomsday plane, has successfully established contact with nuclear submarines during tests to improve the plane's communication system. It's designed to become the airborne command center for Putin in case all ground command centers are destroyed during a major war. So, yeah, it makes me, after, you know, reading about the U.S. intentionally launching provocations against the Russians in the Arctic, in Poland, the Russians practicing their doomsday plane runs, I feel like I'm in Dr. Strangelove. What can you do except learn how to love the bomb? If you have a suggestion for a guest or a host or topics you want us to touch on, let us know. Let it rip, please. Most of the people I get messages from, I shoot out interview requests. Unfortunately, some of them happen to be in Europe and beyond, and so those have to go to my podcast because I'm not going to get people from 2 or 3 in the morning coming on TNT. So, but if it's anyone in the Western Hemisphere or in Australia you want me to talk to, just send me an email, headofwaymodich@tntradio.live, or fill out the form for myself or any other presenter, and we'll get that message. And that's a little tiny way you can help us make a difference on TNT Radio.
News as it happens.
It's around the clock update.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Cue the creepy X-Files music. I don't know if we actually can or if we get copyright strike on that, but the owner of one of the world's most popular websites dedicated to the mysterious and infamous Area 51 says that on November 3rd, his two homes, it's nice he's got two homes, were raided by more than a dozen federal agents from multiple agencies. He got lucky. And that tens of thousands of dollars worth of equipment had been seized. But why? What were they looking for? As they say, the truth is out there. And here, as always, to help us to try to find it, joining me once again is Special Agent Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus.
Thanks, Arvore. No, wait, we shouldn't do that. But man, I want to go watch some X-Files now. Okay, folks, this is a fascinating topic. The story thus far, to set the stage and the mood. On June 24th, 1947, pilot Kenneth Arnold, searching the Cascades for a crashed military transport, observed a flight of crescent-shaped objects glinting in the sun. He thought they were military rockets or jets, but later described them as flying like quote-unquote saucers skipping across water, from which the mistaken idea grew that they looked like saucer, and of course then the press invented the term flying saucer, and a legend was born.
We got some music there, yeah.
I know, that was weird. I thought maybe we would get our X-Files music. Just not even a month later, of course, in July of 1947, an explosion amid a thunderstorm led to the discovery of debris scattered on a ranch operated by William Brazel. This was between Corona and Roswell in my home state here of New Mexico. The light, flimsy, but strong metal foil and material like balsa wood were taken to the Roswell military base, where a press release announced the discovery of a flying saucer. Fast forward to the 80s, I believe it was in 1988, when stories began to surface that a secret military complex in the Nevada desert was the home of captured alien wreckage and bodies. The Groom Lake facility, also known as Area 51, was real, but officially denied by the Pentagon. And of course, UFO enthusiasts began to flock there to see UFOs being test flown and other fun things. And now, November 3rd, 2022, it seems we are able to add to this story. As reported by Gizmodo, Earlier this month, agents from both the FBI and the U.S. Air Force raided multiple homes belonging to a man who runs a little-known blog about Area 51. That man, Jorg Arnu, said the swarm of federal agents in riot gear busted into his primary residence, handcuffed him, then marched him outside to wait in the freezing cold while they rifled through his apartment and took pretty much every piece of electronic equipment that he owned. So far, the government has been pretty tight-lipped about the whole thing, but officials did verify that it happened. In a statement provided to the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Lieutenant Colonel Brian McGarry confirmed the raid. He did not elaborate on its purpose, saying only, quote, "This is an open and ongoing law enforcement investigation between the Las Vegas FBI and Air Force OSI," end quote. So, what did the cops want? It's not exactly clear. Since 1999, Arnu has run Dreamland Resort, a website that covers activities in and around Area 51, the notoriously secretive government facility located in Groom Lake, Nevada. Long the subject of speculation and curiosity, the highly classified facility is the site of myriad UFO sightings. Coincidentally or not, it is also the location where the Air Force reportedly tests and develops some of its most sensitive and experimental new projects and aircraft. Among other things, our news website features pictures and writing about the Air Force's so-called black projects, which are opaque, classified operations carried out behind a veil of government secrecy. This could help explain why, on November 3rd, droves of agents from the FBI and the Air Force Office of Special Investigations stormed two Nevada residences belonging to Arnu, one in Las Vegas and the other in the small town of Rachel, which is located not far from Area 51. At the time, Arnu was staying at the residence in Rachel, while his girlfriend was staying at the one in Vegas. According to Arnu, the raids involved 15 to 20 agents in full riot gear who broke down the doors of both houses and caused, quote, "further damage in both homes besides the broken front doors," end quote. Arnu claims that the agents confiscated his, quote, "laptops, phones, backup drives, camera gear, and my drone. All were seized," end quote. In his blog post, he described how it all went down. He says, "This happened without any warning. The doors were broken open, and I, in Rachel, and my girlfriend in our Las Vegas home were detained and treated in the most disrespectful way. My girlfriend was led out into the street barefoot and only in her underwear in full view of our neighbors. I was led outside handcuffed and only in a t-shirt and sweats in sub-freezing temperatures." Despite all the chaos, the reason behind the raid remains unclear. He writes, "Despite my repeated requests for an explanation, I was only told that the search was related to images posted on my Area 51 website." According to the blog operator, the search warrant that he was served with was missing pages, and the document did not say what the purpose of the raid was. He also noted that the raid left him without any way to communicate with anybody, and that he might have to take legal action in order to get his devices back. Now, of course, if it was just a couple of pictures on Arnu's website that was really the catalyst for all of this that led to he lost $20,000 worth of equipment and they caused approximately $5,000 worth of damage to his homes over some pictures. So what the heck were the pictures of? I have no idea. Hervori, do you have any theories what these mysterious and dangerous pictures might be?
I've got no idea. I just kind of find all of this odd. And I think you mentioned in one of your notes that, I mean, I think you and I have the same view. I personally do not believe in extraterrestrials, like physical aliens. I went down this rabbit hole like 20 years ago. I spent thousands of dollars on Amazon and a whole bunch of books. And I after going sifting through everything, I ended with Jacques Vallée and J. Allen Hynek, who both independently came to the same conclusions that this UFO stuff is a extra-dimensional phenomenon, which gels very much well with my biblical view that we're not dealing with like physical beings, but just good old, you know, angels, fallen angels, and trying to deceive humanity. And you know, you've got the report from Iron Mountain, which talks about fake global warming that the elites would create and fake terrorism that they would try to scare us with, and finally uses a fake staged alien contact to bring about world government. And, you know, could this be them just concocting, you know, hyping the news, UFO stuff to get people thinking, get this in people's psyches? I probably, you know, go with that. I don't really see what this guy could have. I mean, come on. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. I do agree with you 100% with all of those things that you said. And I am familiar with those beliefs from former pro-ufologist types. I've also, I forget the guy's name, but there's one guy who was really keen on discovering that a lot of people who have reported these various alien entity abductions, that if by calling out the name of Jesus Christ, the whole thing stops. And I'm like, well, okay, well, if they're just space aliens, why would that make that go away? I'm like, that's quite telling to me. I wish I could remember that gentleman's name off the top of my head. But here's what's really interesting, okay, because they do all of this, like, fancy schmancy secretive, like, advanced technology stuff there. That's probably why there's so many UFO sightings there, because they're just, you know, they're unexplained, because the government's not going to come out and explain them to the people. So my full belief is that all of the UFOs that are actually sighted and caught on film, like the real ones, not the hoax ones, I do believe they exist. And I believe that they're just, you know, it's just technology that the government and the military doesn't want us to be aware of. Whether or not they're going to use that for the purpose of faking an alien invasion a la Project Blue Book, I don't know. But, you know, this guy clearly caught something on film that the world wasn't supposed to see. I sincerely doubt it's related to aliens, though. But yeah, something's there. But obviously, we'll never know what it is, which is crazy.
Yeah, I'm kicking myself. I would go to Vegas every year back in the day because family used to live there. And you know, I went out to Hoover Dam. They've got a great museum, the Atomic Testing Museum. People don't know that there's in the U.S., you can visit the old nuclear-like test sites. Every month, they take a tour out there, but only 20 people can go. It's like a very limited free tour, but I had wanted to go on a road trip to, I think it's the town of Rachel, where, like, close to Area 51, and I never made it out there. I'm kicking myself. Maybe someday in the future. But you know, you mentioning someone mentioning Jesus with these abductions, this is a story for another day. But when I lived in Mongolia in the yurts in the desert, I believe I experienced, you know, a demonic possession, and I actually thought or said the name of Jesus, and everything just immediately stopped and I could move again. So I had quite an interesting experience out there in the desert, but that's a story for another day. We'll get back to you next week, Ruckus, and we'll be right back with our guest after this break.
You should hear what Joe Hoft is talking about.
Joe Biden talks about how, you know, Americans just need to know what he's doing. Because if they know, oh yeah, you know, then it wouldn't be a 75% disapproval, you know, rating. What a quack. What a nightmare. What a villain. What a corrupt individual. What a sicko. What a senile old man. Did I catch everything? I don't, probably not. I mean, this guy has been stealing from this society of ours, from our country, for now over 40, 50 years. He's been in Congress as a rep and then a senator. I think he was a senator for like 50 years almost. He was setting records almost. And his good friend, I think, set the record, and that was Senator Byrd, who was a member of the KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, for those of you who don't know. That is the militant wing of the Democrat Party in the past. They were racist. They were the leftovers from the Confederacy, who fought for slavery and stayed in the Democratic Party, and then created this militant group that went around, and there's at least one incident where they killed 50 people, 50 blacks in one of the southern states in a week once, and those were the KKK, and they were all Democrats.
Joe Hoft on TNT Radio.
I view Al Sharpton as a poverty pimp.
Terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland.
I walk outside every day in fear of white supremacy right here in the middle of the hood. Okay, yeah, right.
My grandparents had a cross burned on their property. We were slaves in the past. We're free now.
I never seen a white supremacist in my life. Never, and they can't point to one. Where the hell are they? I wish somebody would introduce me to a white supremacist. I would like to talk to them and take pictures with them because I never seen one in my life.
Biden says that the country is systematically racist. You know, I almost want to look at him and say, haven't you been the system for the last 50 years?
He's the one that sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which unequivocally basically targeted black men in black neighborhoods.
The polarization, the left versus right, the black versus white.
Pro-choice against pro-life.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
People have had to make it like they're apologizing for their whiteness.
And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
What's more disheartening to me is that those who are within the black community are allowing for that to take place.
So really what we're dealing with is a cultural Marxism that Joe Biden and all the rest from the left were trying to inculcate into our society.
Well, you were once the oppressor, so now I must be the oppressor. You don't avenge evil for evil.
It's okay to say disparaging things against white people. Our former president, Barack Obama, said it, you know, about old white men are a problem. Except when it comes time for him to fly around on their airplanes and ride around on their yachts or be their next door neighbors or endorse them for president like Joe Biden, then old white men are okay. This is their last gasp.
What do progressive socialists really want?
Watch Systematic Deception at SalemNow.com.
The truth is out there. All the other stations suck.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right, hour two, finishing off the week for myself with my weekly guest from Texas, Venezuelan American Jose Nino, who's got a great Substack and podcast. Check it out at J. I'm forgetting it now. It's so confusing. JOSBCF.substack.com. He interviews a lot of high level folks, and he's on Twitter at Jose AL Nino. What's going on, Joe?
Things are going well. Week started out initially hectic for me, but it's cooled down a bit. But yeah, just the same old thing, making Cobra Commander and Klaus Schwab sweat.
Yeah, you know, I did want to get some of your further thoughts on the midterms. Fallout, you've been writing a lot for Big League Politics, but you know, is there anything that's kind of front and center on your mind?
Well, Republicans won the House, which was to be expected, but the margin they won it by wasn't that impressive. And there are several reasons for that, because I've long argued that their platform just sucks. It's just like a rebranded form of neoconservatism with filled with a lot of platitudes and not much substance. And Democrats may actually expand their lead in the Senate, depending on how the runoffs in Georgia go, because that race was so close that it triggered the runoff election there. To me, it's become abundantly clear in the U.S., with the exception of several gubernatorial races, that polarization is baked into the cake, and people are voting much more on tribal lines now. If you're a working class, generally speaking, white voter, you're probably going to be voting Republican. If you're like a cosmopolitan white person, you're going to be voting Democrat. And as for minorities, it gets more nuanced, because the Democrat Party is always been pretty pro-black, and blacks have voted pretty hard for it. But now you are seeing Hispanics drift somewhat to the right, but the one Hispanic population that has drifted really, really rightward are Florida Hispanics now, because especially with DeSantis, I think he nearly got 60% of the Hispanic vote there. That was pretty astounding. And Florida now is officially a red state. If there was one big winner in the midterms, it was Ron DeSantis, regardless of what you think about him. I'm not the biggest fan, but it's become very clear he's the second biggest force in Republican politics next to Donald Trump. And you're seeing a lot of the neocon crowd, the pundit crowd, congregate around DeSantis in a way to like drive a wedge between him and Trump and Trump's base. Interestingly, DeSantis has not bitten the bait on that because he is a smart politician and he knows that for him to be long-term relevant, he's going to have to rely on Trump supporters to put him over the top. And he's more focused on making Florida great. And to be honest, for me, in my fantasy world, I'd like DeSantis to just become like the strongman of Florida and just like separate from the rest of the United States. But I'm living in fantasy land there.
In clown world, no. there was a funny meme I saw where it was like, what was it, two monkeys fighting and surrounded by people that were placing their bets, and
yes,
they were labeled as like WEF and Democrats, and the two fighting were Trump and DeSantis, and it's just this endless, and someone else made this comment, like, it's an endless divide and conquer. That's the strategy of the British Empire, which I think is, you know, involved with a lot of what's going on, City of London and the Royals, you know, Davos. But it's just from top to bottom, global, regional level, national, local, just divide and conquer, divide and conquer, vaxxed, unvaxxed, black, white, right? You know, traditional conservative versus LGBT, rainbow fascism, you know, and, you know, Trump, DeSantis. It's just classic strategy. It works so well because people are dumb. What can I, and the GOP, the Republicans, they should be working together. But no, there's always this infighting everywhere. And it shouldn't be Trump over DeSantis. It should be teamwork. As was it Ben Franklin who said, we either all hang together or hang separate. And speaking of hanging, you're all going to have to hang tight because we got a news break. We'll be right back.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. The average weekly price for London residential rentals climbed to a record high in October, with high prices driven by high demand that's a result of open borders sustained by successive conservative governments. The Italian Interior Minister is considering confiscating the ships of migrant taxi NGOs as part of a new security decree aimed at reducing the number of illegal migrants arriving in Italy.
At TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7 online globally. No matter what, we've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Jose, I don't know if you've seen Elon Musk's Twitter feed recently, but he's reinstated Jordan Peterson, Babylon Bee, Kathy Griffin, ew. But he's now running a poll, 43 minutes old, to whether he should reinstate former President Trump. Now it's it used to be 62% said yes. Now it's 60% said yes. So what do you think? Should Elon reinstate Donald?
Yeah. I mean, for like entertainment purposes, obvious reasons for that. But also, I just think that he needs to like be serious about free speech, though I do think he faces a lot of limits because there are some really nasty actors in the big tech sector that I believe will try to subvert any type of reasonable reforms Musk will make. And he's going to face also really harsh pressure from crazy Zionist organizations like the Anti-Defamation League, which is always screaming about anti-Semitism on social media and all that nonsense. And yeah, they still have like a lot of clout. So there's gonna be a lot of constraint factors. For example, I believe Elon Musk did say that he's not gonna reinstate Alex Jones. So there's like limits to it, but to me, it's a no-brainer that he should reinstate like Trump and other political figures. I think he should reinstate everybody, including a lot of dissident commentators that say things that anger the ADL, for example, but there's only so much you can do. And I do believe that in the US, the culture of free speech is dying in many respects, and you're not going to fully return to like 2015 era, like free speech when Trump was running. So you're going to have to take what you can get. And regardless of what one thinks about Musk, I do believe that his stewardship of Twitter would actually like have saved that company, as opposed to that Parag Agrawal guy, because that guy is a total woke lunatic. And I think not only would he destroy like any type of discourse on Twitter, but it might destroy Twitter altogether had those woke lunatics continued to be in power.
we're definitely not in Kansas anymore, and we're never coming back home to Kansas.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the new abnormal. Get used to it. We have crossed the Rubicon, and I mean, that's election interference if you ask me, that they don't allow Trump on Twitter. If you have the new 2024 elections, you've got other candidates being able to speak freely, but Trump is not. I mean, I would say the same for Biden. If it was the reverse, that would be unfair as well. So that's election interference. But there's a lot of great Substacks just popping up all over the place, and now I'm having trouble with them flooding my inbox. I can't even keep up. I'm going to start a Substack at some point, just to throw some of my thoughts down. But there's a new Substack that I discovered, farm.substack.com, which is pretty good. And they're commenting on what you were related to what you were saying a bit about Elon Musk. And it includes a clip recently from Nina Yankowitz, who got me banned from PayPal, Disinformation Governance Board, Michael Chertoff, that psycho tyrant from 9/11 days and TSA.
Yeah, creepy physiognomy on that guy.
And the title of the article is "Former DHS Clowns with a shockingly accurate prediction on Elon Musk's stance on freedom of speech." And I listened to a few minutes of this wacko Nina tyrant saying how, and she used the phrase related to freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. And then Elon Musk tweets out, I think after that, "New Twitter policy is freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. Negative hate tweets will be max deboosted and demonetized, so no ads or other revenue to Twitter." That's funny. I actually got a message from Twitter ads on my Geopolitics and Empire podcast Twitter a few weeks ago saying, my account is not eligible for ads and stuff. Not that I was using them, but Musk's article says you won't find the tweet unless you specifically seek it out, which is no different from rest of internet. So Elon Musk is mimicking DHS talking points. And this goes back to my bigger theory. I mean, one man cannot run the show. I mean, he's busy. There's a system behind Twitter. There are these large systems. And I think DHS is connected by the hip, agencies like DHS or others to the hip. And I think they've got protocols that Elon Musk has to apply. That's why he's mimicking Nina Yankowitz's freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. So Elon Musk himself does not have much freedom of reach. There's that. Other thoughts on that? Or, I mean, you've been writing about how, just the GOP. Blake Masters lost. It would have been interesting to see him win, although he's back. He comes from Peter Thiel country. And other thoughts.
As mentioned before, we're in a point of no return where a lot of the politics and business culture that we've been accustomed to in previous decades and even centuries is just no longer applicable, because businessmen of yesteryear, at least, like, say what you want about like the robber barons of the 19th century, they weren't on like a post-national mindset. These people at least used like their wealth for like philanthropic ventures that advanced like the national interest. They at least had some degree of noblesse oblige when it came to like dealing with their fellow men. This current crop of business elites and political class are just really in it for themselves and their whole like rootless cosmopolitan class. They don't care about respecting social norms and all that. And also the nature of like the executive in both government and in business has fundamentally changed with the advent of like the deep state and permanent bureaucracy, especially in the corporate front with all the HR and woke policing of behavior. These leaders like really do not have much power, and if they do have power, they're always walking on eggshells, because any type of off the cuff comment they make could easily be recorded and then blasted across the entire digital media and traditional media, and you'll eventually get canned for that. That's like the type of world we live in now. So yeah, in terms of like the people who lost, like Blake Masters, I think that there was definitely a lot of election tampering in Arizona. This is a state that I believe Republicans are still competitive in, but because of the combination of that and also really bad Republican leadership, like for Mitch McConnell, Masters lost. And it's become abundantly clear, as I've said numerous occasions, and call me cynical, but I've long said the Republican establishment will capsize genuine dissident candidates and help Democrats instead, because they prefer those type of people, because they're just like two different species of the same blood-sucking parasites that inhabit DC, and they don't want any America First nationalists or America First adjacent type people entering the fray.
Yeah, your recent article on Big League Politics talks about that, and I've been reading from a number of other analysts saying the exact same thing. Your title of your piece says Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell are colluding to purge MAGA Republicans from the party, and so you know any true dissidents are being kicked out, and it's the one party system. It's you know the left right. Two wings of the same bird that do the whole military industrial complex thing. And anyone who's a Republican or even a Democrat that goes too far, crosses the red line towards anti-war or wanting to investigate COVID or wanting to, make better election, election integrity reforms or whatnot, they are purged, and it looks like the GOP is, yeah, it's just I mean good on all the other people, some of the hosts on TNT and guests that are more hopeful, but I just don't have myself much faith in the voting process anymore. I think we are in technocracy. Sorry to be so black-pilled, but I'm gonna head out to the jungle down in Chiapas or some seaside location, and good luck, y'all.
Might join you there too at this juncture. But one final note, the one white pill from this election was the election of J.D. Vance, who was like the only sane Senate candidate that was calling out the NATO-led no-fly zone proposal around March that was gaining a lot of steam. He had the balls to actually say this is like an absolutely insane idea. And honestly, he won mostly because of the fact that Ohio is one of those realignment, like white working class, like down the really mobile white states that are very amenable towards Republican candidates because of the fact that in more growth-oriented states in the Sun Belt, with the exception of Texas and Florida, it's just becoming much, much harder for Republicans to, especially America First nationalists, to like win. So he was at the right state at the right time. And he had the right platform too.
Yeah, but that's interesting. I had an interview, was it 5 months ago on my podcast with Daryl Hamamoto, who used to be a regular staple as a guest host on InfoWars, the podcast is called Countering the Iron Law of Oligarchy, and their limited hangouts, people can go listen to it, but he didn't have many good things to say about JD Vance. His opinion was that JD was a limited hangout. I'm on the fence. I haven't spent enough time digging into JD, but definitely some thought there. We're gonna take a break and come back. I want to talk about, get your thoughts, you being in Texas, and Abbott's move against the cartels, as well as Representative Crenshaw, and maybe foreign policy as well. On Twitter, Jose A.L. Nino and his Substack, josbcf.substack.com. We'll be right back on TNT.
de-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
The massive January 15th eruption of the Tonga volcano pumped immense amounts of water vapor and ash into the air. The excess water vapor is actually being acknowledged as a reason for warming. Now, this is something I've been saying for years, that it's actually the water vapor that is the big deal, and the warming of the oceans is what is pumping more water vapor into the air. And this is supposedly the biggest blast of ash since Krakatoa. Global temperatures fell after Krakatoa and Pinatubo in 1991. The launching of the water vapor into the air, though, has led to some warming so far, but what's happening is the ash in the air may be causing less sunlight to reach the Earth in the tropical areas. That, in turn, starts to cause some cooling. And that cooling may be taking place now as we're seeing the global temperature drop. What'll happen, though, in response to that? There may be an El Nino next year, and up goes the temperature again. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Eggs. You can fry them, scramble them, poach them, boil them, or race them on a spoon. But uncooked eggs can be a risk for food poisoning. To be safe, avoid buying dirty or cracked eggs. Always wash your hands after handling eggs. And if you're concerned, pregnant, elderly, or have a poor immune system, make sure you cook eggs until the yolk starts to firm. Or look for new pasteurized eggs. For excellent eggs, handle them safely.
Why listen to TNT Radio? Because friends don't let friends listen to mainstream media. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, back with Jose on our final stretch. Find him on Twitter at JoseALNino. Subscribe to his stack. Everyone's got a stack these days, it seems. josbcf.substack.com. And I found it interesting that Texas Governor Greg Abbott announced this week he's going to be invoking the invasion clauses of the U.S. and Texas constitutions to allow the state to deploy the National Guard, build a border wall, and provide resources for border counties. He said he's authorizing this because of to take unprecedented measures to defend the state against an invasion from Mexico. He's also going to deploy the Texas Department of Public Safety, designate Mexican drug cartels as foreign terrorists. Meanwhile, Jose, you and I are designated as domestic terrorists, and he's going to provide resources for border counties and enter into compact with other states to further secure the border. I mean, things are bad. This is part of the globalist plan. Multifaceted plan, and one is attacking the borders, flooding the public population with foreign migrants. It doesn't matter from where, but just to dilute the national population. And the cartels are a problem. I don't know what to tell you, but as I've mentioned before, it's really, we got two bad options. They are terrorists, but they're crazy. But also labeling them that, I don't want to give, under some sort of customary international law, I don't want to give any legal precedence to allow NATO or U.S. to move in to Mexico or beyond, yeah. Which would also be crazy. So both options suck. What's your take on Abbott's decision?
Yeah, that's one thing too. I do believe cartel organizations are terror entities, but the huge issue with labeling them terrorist organizations is that it'll provoke like a massive refugee influx, because now a lot of Mexicans and Central Americans can just say like, oh, we're being persecuted by terrorists and all this, so we can just hop on over to the border. And also, as you mentioned, I do believe the excessive militarization efforts against these cartels could lead to the pretext for the creation of a North American Union, because that conflict, the problem reaction solution is probably going to lead to that. I tend to agree with Colonel Douglas McGregor that they really should just militarize the U.S. border, and that'll create enough of a deterrent effect to prevent these organizations from wreaking havoc. Because I'd rather have troops on our border as opposed to like military aid and assets going to like Saudi Arabia, Japan, Israel, South Korea, and stuff like that. But we have such a dysfunctional and depraved ruling class with a twisted sense of priorities that they won't ever do that. But instead, they'll do something even more foolish by trying to create this North American Union, which will accelerate the destruction of the historic American nation.
I mean, that's precisely the plan. I've been talking about it for many years. I just don't see any way out. We're slowly progressing towards the North American Union. There's no way out. We try to stop it. What can I tell you? But it's all just moving along. Everything that we're witnessing is just progressing. And you've got the 2026 FIFA World Cup in North America, Canada, US, and Mexico to promote culturally, you know, in integration. You've got this crisis we're talking about to promote, expand the militarization. Northern Command, NORTHCOM, is in charge of Canada, US, and Mexico. It's funny how US NORTHCOM says they put Mexico under its wing. So my theory has always been that they're going to use a security pretext, sort of to expand the zone. And they do it economically through the free trade. Then they do it culturally through, you know, World Cup. And then they do it, you know, politically, security-wise, through using the migrant crisis and narco crisis. So we are well on our way. And collapse will help these things along, you know. Economy collapses. Let's restart our currencies with an Amero, digital Amero, you know, just like the digital euro. So there's that. And Dan Crenshaw, I'm not a fan. He's proven to be a fraud, if you ask me. I think he's a young global leader. He's voted many times in the opposite way. He should have voted on a number of issues. I can't recall exactly now, but at least he's also kind of following the lead of Abbott. And he's got a bill that would ramp up federal penalties for Mexican cartels, crack down on their finances. And I guess if they caught actual cartel members or their family members, they would be banned from. They would have citizenship revoked if it was naturalized citizenship, and them and their families would be inadmissible to the U.S. Just like me and my family is inadmissible to the U.S. because my wife refuses to take the DARPA gene therapy. So anyways, your thoughts on Crenshaw's attempt on, ramping up federal penalties? I mean, that's also a good idea, no?
Yeah, I would prefer that they would enhance penalties for people who are part of cartels or work for the benefit of cartels, as opposed to like doing these like weird pretexts of labeling these entities as terrorist organizations, which can be used to justify interventions further down the line. However, Crenshaw is an interesting character because he has gotten a lot of heat from Republican grassroots members for the simple fact that he's part of the establishment and he used to vote very pro-establishment, but he's felt so much pressure from Texas conservative activists that now he is paying lip service to immigration, patriotic immigration reform and other stuff like that. But I think it's very political because he knows that if he continues to govern like a typical Republican, he's going to get the boot eventually in a primary or get a really credible primary challenger. So I do believe that there is a degree of political calculation behind these moves by Crenshaw. And to be honest, if you were actually serious about immigration reform, he'd be calling for like the end of chain migration, ending birthright citizenship, implementing a immigration moratorium, and implementing as well E-Verify too, but you won't really see that from the modern day Republican Party, with the exception of maybe like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar.
Yeah, and your other piece for Big League also titled Canada plans on increasing immigration to alarming levels. So it's a pincer attack from the North and the South on the U.S. and the immigration minister of Canada put forth an immigration plan that would fundamentally transform Canada's population demographics by 2025. He's stated that the Canadian regime, as you put it, plans on adding close to 1.45 million permanent resident migrants for the ostensible purpose of addressing a significant labor shortage. And, not, and just recently, there was a clip this week, I think it was Chuck Schumer, saying the same thing, that there are fertility issues with Americans, and basically we need to bring in foreigners. So there's the U.S. saying that, Canada saying that. Again, that's that globalist Babylon multicultural plan to bring us towards supranationalism and global governments. And speaking of Justin Castro, sorry, yeah. I mean Fidel Trudeau. Sorry, I mean, I don't even remember his name, Justin Trudeau. Did you see that clip, Justine, where Xi Jinping was laying it down on Trudeau?
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
I mean, that's really telling. Like, I couldn't believe it. You could actually hear the audio of Xi Jinping's translator telling Trudeau, you know, what we were discussing was not meant for public consumption, basically like that. You were not supposed to release those talking points. And it really seems like Trudeau's a vassal of Xi in that, doesn't it?
Yeah, she apparently made him his bitch in that occasion, but... Yeah, Xi, say what you want about him, doesn't get pushed around by other Western leaders, especially total empty suits like Justin Trudeau. Like, there's like seriously nothing upstairs when it comes to Trudeau. The guy is just like a pretty boy face for the globalist class, but the guy has zero substance and is just like another cog in this globalist transnational machine. And I'm glad that he got dressed down there, because the guy deserves it. He needs to get called out. He needs to get humiliated and exposed.
I don't know how those people sleep at night. You're not your own man. You're just this bot puppet.
Yeah, they don't sleep.
And I love being, you know, I don't have as, definitely not as fancy car or whatever as Trudeau, but I would rather just be my own man. And just more evidence regarding there was that incident, and then you had I think it was in Bali where Xi Jinping met with a number of leaders, the German Chancellor Scholz, that little, you know, poodle Scholz, and you can tell the who's got the power, where Xi Jinping stood and Scholz came to him. When it was Biden's turn, Xi Jinping stood, Biden walked over to him. Who's in charge then? It's the one who people are walking toward. And so really it's interesting to see this global great power dynamic and how it seems, you know, again, this idea of multipolar world Eurasia rising and the West about to get its, you know, feet kicked from under it. Got a couple minutes left. By the way, Trump seems to be declining on that Twitter poll. Now he's down to 59%. So foreign policy, where are we at with Ukraine, the Polish, the missiles in Poland? You know, any thoughts there where we are?
Oh, it's just like another attempt to try to draw NATO in. I do believe that the threat of NATO trying to establish a buffer zone in Western Ukraine is growing, because it seems to me that Ukraine is like on the verge of like not only like an energy collapse but an economic collapse, because people tend to forget that Ukraine has one of the higher inflation rates in the world right now, and this war is not helping matters. And as its infrastructure gets targeted, things are going to get really bad there. And if they start taking big military losses as well, you're looking at like a failed state, because first off, your territorial defense forces are just getting obliterated, and then second, your economy is going to crap because of not only like the macro factors but also your infrastructure is literally being targeted as well by Russia. So Ukraine is like a coherent nation may not be a thing like in 5 years, possibly even less time, depending on the intensity of how Russia pursues this.
There's a funny clip from Serbian President Vucic, who they were asking him about the Baltic Sea Nord Stream incidents. He said, I think the whole world knows who did what in the Baltic Sea with Nord Stream. Everybody knows, but pretends to be naive. Let's pretend to be naive ourselves. So I don't know what's keeping him from just out and saying it. I guess there would be some firm repercussions. And Scott Ritter has come out also with an interesting theory about what really happened with the S-300 surface-to-air missile that killed two Polish citizens. He says he thinks Ukraine is trying to provoke NATO into the war before the Russian military is reinforced with 200,000 troops next month. So, dark winter. We will find out soon enough. 30 seconds left. Jose, last thought, and where do we find you on the internet?
I think things are going to probably get crazier next year. The economy is going to continue sputtering out of control, and socioeconomic chaos is going to ensue. And you can find me at JOSBCF, Substack.com, and at Jose Alnino on Twitter to find my political takes and musings.
All right. Be well. Enjoy the Texas barbecue weekend out in Texas. Everyone else, keep listening to TNT. As Patrick McGoohan used to say, be seeing you.